Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast, with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
It's going to be a real barn burner this week. Last week, there was a meeting of the San Francisco Art
Commission.
We heard it was going to be a humdinger because there's a lot of moving and shaking happening in the old art political world, whatever the fuck you'd call that. Okay, they unveiled the results of the artist displacement survey that they had been doing a couple months ago.
I hope you all participated, listeners.
I know I did, except I didn't because I don't live in San Francisco.
I didn't because I'm not an
artist. Was I supposed to? Actually, I think some of the... Maybe I did. Anyhow,
I did look at it.
God, we're really on one. Anyhow, a lot of things happened. There were... I'd never been to a SFAC meeting.
Yeah.
It's very... The City Hall of San Francisco is such an opulent building.
It's beautiful.
It's a lot different than Oakland City Hall.
Have you been to Oakland City Hall?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't been to that one.
So, okay, just going to give you kind of a rundown of what happened there at the meeting. I recorded the whole thing, so there's a link to that.
Are we going to link to the whole recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
I already put it out.
Oh, good.
I already put it on Facebook. So anyhow, if you want to just listen to the whole thing without a couple of knuckleheads telling you about it.
It's about 2.5 hours long. Good luck.
It's not two and a half.
It's at least two.
It's about 2 hours.
I got through an hour and 40.
That wasn't even the whole meeting.
I need to stop.
Anyhow, they kicked it off with comments from the public.
Yeah, which is great.
And I'm just going to play a little bit of that.
Hello, my name is Ada Chan. I'm here speaking on behalf of the Filipino Cultural Heritage District in the South of Market. Several weeks from now, you'll be put in the position of discussing a development agreement with that's going to be an outcome of the 5M project. And I wanted to kind of talk to you in advance and tee it up because I believe you'll be put in the position of unknowingly colluding in a situation that for the Filipino community in the South of Market is untenable. The development agreement will be speaking to you in your silo as an arts commission, and you will not have the authority or power to make any other comments. And I understand that, and we understand that. But what you're going to be negotiating or agreeing to is an agreement that comes out of a project that will be increasing the heights in our neighborhood 10 times beyond the allowable zoning at this time. A neighborhood that has 45-foot heights will have 470-foot towers. We're talking about 6,000 additional cars a day in our neighborhood. It is also kind of part, and the reason we're coming to you is that you were part of the arts and placemaking funding for Intersection for the Arts, which ended up being part of the approval of this process and the design of this process. I want to talk to you about this project, which exists in a youth and family zone in the Filipino Heritage District, and really encourage you to think about how you can think of the development agreement and how you can prioritize and ensure that instead of accepting what's put before you, really force the developer to talk about how the Filipino community will be stronger and have a bigger presence at the end of this.
Good afternoon, commissioners and Director DeCane. My name is Vinay Patel. I'm also the executive director of the Asian Pacific Islander Cultural Center. And I'm here to actually speak about the 5M project too. Over the years, there's been a lot of development that's happened in the Soma where the Filipino community has called home for decades. You know, from Yerba Buena, from the Metro, Bloomingdale's, all promised that it'll enrich and help the community. But what we've seen is that there's been more displacement that's happened over the years. And part of the concern of this project is that this, especially on this side, is going to continue to do that. We recognize that the benefits from this project and what they're proposing is historic. You know, having a building given to cast to manage, having one-time dollars go to the Arts Commission, which is the first time ever that a developer has ever done. But that doesn't mitigate the displacement that might happen. And secondly, I think the other thing that the community wants to see is more involvement of the Filipino communities in the decision-making process. Because there aren't any Filipino stakeholders that actually at decisions, they're actually in the meetings, but they're the community that's going to be the most affected by this, but they don't actually have really a say what's going on. And I think that's what the community is asking for, you know, and we know the limitations of what the commissioners can do in terms of like this whole planning thing. But I think that your voices is actually very important to doing this. And like Ada had said, the Filipino Heritage District, it's actually a very historic thing, but it's been on the back burner for a long time, whereas some of these other projects are sort of streamlined to get past and get through. But this Heritage District plan has been on the back burner, so we've been asking the Planning Commission to actually streamline that. And maybe the Arts Commission can actually lend a voice about Heritage District and maybe help the community sort of figure out ways to get that move forward as well.
Hello, my name is Trung Tran. I am one of the many displaced artists of the Red Lake Building. I'm grateful for the work that the Arts Commission does through its individual artist granting program. As I have had the good fortune of being supported by the program, I thank you for your support. It makes it all the more sad for me to say that the artists of the former Studio 17 have been misrepresented by the Arts Commission. A representative of the Arts Commission recently went on record at a Planning Commission's hearing on September 3rd stating that SFAC was present at the hearing in an effort to represent the artists of the Studio 17. Unfortunately, the tacit approval was given to the developer's plan by the SFAC during the opening minutes of the hearing. The Holman plan for the corner of 17th and Mission, inserting nearly 50,000 square feet of tech offices, got enough votes from the Planning Commission to pass. I'm standing here today to go on record one last time. We, the displaced artists of Studio 17, the core group involved in fighting against the Holman plan, were not in conversation with with SFAC. Rather, it is our understanding that SFAC was in conversation with the other side, with Holman, his partner Toby Levy, and his lawyer Steve Vitale. Much to our surprise, it seemed as though a deal had been arrived at. Some of the commission seemed happy, commissioners seemed happy with SFAC's participation, endorsed the suggestions put forth, and lo and behold, the plan passed. But let it be known, we, the artists, were not consulted. We feel that our concerns and our voices were misrepresented by the Arts Commission. We were told that the Arts Commission needed to remain neutral in matters pertaining to landlord-tenant dispute. Why then did the administrative heads of the Arts Commission meet with the sponsors of the proposal? Why did they not meet with the artists to better understand our concerns as artists who are entrenched in the community of the Mission? You are about to be presented with data about displacement of artists in San Francisco. But please know that this issue is much greater than the loss of artist space. It is about the displacement of communities and cultures, the working class, and people of color. We as artists see ourselves in these communities. In endorsing the efforts of the developers, by way of endorsing the Planning Commission's ruling, you have done a disservice to the arts, to communities of color, and to the working class who are all being erased in the city. You have misrepresented us for the gains of our displacers. Please look at the situation and know that we stand with our community. We are not apart from our community. We are part of it.
After Root Division and all the stuff that's been going on lately, it seems like the kind of crisis hasn't been so roaring lately as it was like a year or so ago.
Oh, you're saying that you felt like it had sort of subsided a little bit.
Yeah, and then sure enough, go to this and it's right back.
Go to this meeting
and like nothing's changed.
Yeah, there were many people who were giving public comment from different arts and cultural institutions that were very concerned with how new developers or new developments are impacting their neighborhood and their communities.
And that artists are endangered.
Yeah.
And that.
Well, and also just even some of the research, the research from the artist survey that the Arts Commission put out showed that 75%, I mean, there's like a huge number of artists in San Francisco who'd been displaced either through, you know, their studio or through their home who've had to leave the city.
So one of the things they did was unveil the artist displacement survey, and it turned out that 70%
of the
respondents were being displaced from their workplace, home, or both.
Right, which is a huge number.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it was about, it was a little less than 600 respondents.
Oh, okay. That's good.
So.
It's always hard to, you know, it's interesting because I feel like are people who are not displaced as likely to respond to a survey like that? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I always wonder how much of a actual picture is that showing?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems still pretty extreme and upsetting.
And they kept plugging this, their individual artist grant program. Mm-hmm. And just so listeners know,
the Arts Commission has an individual artist grant program, just so you know.
The deadline for that is October 15th, and there's like individual one-on-one consultations that you can go to. And the next one is, oh, there's one today, September 23rd. I hope I'm right on that. At the African American Art and Culture Complex from 5 o'clock to 7. So go to that.
Right. I mean, I think the grants are really useful for artists who have projects they're working on, or for whatever, you know, whatever they're working on, basically. But in the long run, it's not really helping them with paying their rent that maybe has doubled or tripled and, you know, in value or whatever. So it's sort of like, it's great, I'm glad there's money for artists out there, but it feels in this particular climate a little bit like a Band-Aid, maybe. You know, it's like, we can't really do much with this. We can do something that's appreciated, please don't take it away. But there are some bigger issues at hand that really need to be worked on by the city.
Catherine Moore from the Planning Commission also came and gave a little statement. And she said that San Francisco is in a state of emergency.
Yeah, I heard that.
Also, a lot of the people that in the beginning, some of the public comment people were from community organizations in SoMa, because apparently 5M is doing some new developing out there.
Yeah.
And what's up with that? So I don't understand this shit, Maysoon. Can you explain it to me? So like the fucking SFAC can't advocate for shit. What does that mean?
I think because they're supposed to take a neutral role.
What does that mean? Then what is their purpose?
Good point. I guess their purpose, I don't know. They can't advocate.
They give money.
They can't advocate they against development. Stuff. But they can advocate for. They can advocate for
so
artists.
So like a lot of the community
culture.
Organizers, the people from like the
Filipino Cultural Heritage of SoMa. That's what I have written down, but that doesn't sound right.
Like, what are they really asking them from the SFAC?
I think
like they want to be able to get in there and have a place at the table to even talk.
Here's the deal. The SFAC is the city entity that I think can impact how the mayor and how the planning commissioner, like how the city is working with developers. And so they're kind of our ultimate representatives. But if they don't hear from the advocates, which are these different cultural groups, you have to advocate, right? Like,
right.
The city can't advocate for us. I don't know they can advocate for us, but
you
we
mean
need
the SFAC.
SFAC, I don't know if they can be out there, you know, doing like the groundwork and like formulating opinions about developers being fucked up and crazy. They need to hear, you know what I mean? I feel like they need to hear from cultural groups, which is why public comment is so important. They need to hear that there's an actual concern and issue that they can then bring to other planning group, other like the planning commissioner or whoever, the mayor, whoever else. You know what I mean? So they're like, we can't go to the mayor directly. I mean, we can, but he's not going to really listen to us. We're not going to be at the table with the mayor. The Arts Commission is going to be at the table with the mayor. You know what I mean? To bring up the concerns of the community.
And so, but they can't say like, hey, we talked to so-and-so from this community group. They don't want a fucking 5M skyscraper coming in.
I think what they can say is, we've heard from our constituency, the arts community.
Right.
You know, about this development, and this is the concern. Is there a way that we can address this concern responsibly with these developers? You know, is there, I mean, I assume that's what they're doing. They have to advocate for their constituency, which are artists and arts community, you know, arts cultural institutions.
So then Catherine Moore from the Planning Commission came in and she was like, we're in a state of emergency. All hell is breaking loose and has been forever. And she kept talking about PBRs.
So from her perspective, excuse me, what does she mean by state of emergency? Because if she's from the planning commission,
she was talking about displacement.
She's talking about displacement, yeah. Not like, because I think people also are like, we're in a state of emergency. We don't have enough housing for all the people that
true,
are coming
though.
In.
We get San Francisco's getting 10,000 new people a year,
right? But that's, to me, that's a little bit different than displacement.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like it's in the same conversation.
I think it's the same.
No, because the tens of thousands of people that are
coming
in
and
are like
displacing the other people.
Right. But like not having enough housing for those people, it's like that's different than, I mean, it's the same conversation, but it's a different side of the coin, I think.
Well, anyhow, we can come back to that.
Sure.
What's up? What are PDRs? She kept talking about PDRs and protected parcels.
All right. So I'm on the sanfranciscoplanning.org website.
This is our deep research.
Here's our deep research. PDR stands for production, distribution, and repair. And it refers to sort of all the areas or all the districts in San Francisco that were once sort of where all, there were a bunch of like industrial factories or warehouses or whatever. So that tends to be within five different neighborhoods of the city. And those neighborhoods are East Soma, The Mission, Showplace Square, Potrero Hill, and Central Waterfront. So I think
what's the Central Waterfront?
I believe the Central Waterfront is, I want to say it's sort of Dogpatch area.
Okay.
Just for those of us who are more familiar with that. Potrero Hill, we know. Mission, we know. Showplace Square is kind of the area around Trader Joe's, where there's like the Flower Mart and
by like SoMarts,
kind of over there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then East Soma is just Soma, but East, sort of nearer to the water.
Okay. So wait, what are the things again? So that can be also like performance spaces, not just like kind of manufacturing things, but also like,
so more specifically, so that includes arts activities, performance spaces, furniture, wholesaling, and design activities. It's kind of, it's weird the way they rephrase that, but
okay.
It's probably like a lot of like artist live work loft space. It's the whole design, that whole design area by CCA, that whole area, the Flower Mart
Those
is over
PDRs.
There. That's kind of a PDR.
The Catherine Moore also said that it's like trying to save the Titanic after it already started sinking.
Yep. The whole fucking city is basically the Titanic on its way.
God, Maysoon.
Sorry, just kidding. I mean, I'm not kidding. And that was maybe too dramatic. I don't necessarily feel that way, but.
So do you kind of feel like this?
Are we like the Titanic approaching the iceberg? I mean, the whole world is the Titanic approaching the iceberg, actually.
The iceberg hit already. Anyhow, point is, Maymay.
But that means our only way is down.
So I think maybe at least I, and maybe other people have done this too, maybe gave a little too much gravity to the whole thing with the root division. Because the SFAC kept talking about that too. Was like, oh yeah, they were like, oh, we just had the root division opening. And so things are turning around and it's a beautiful new building and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, as
much
as... And that's
totally important and great, but it's like, kind of like, watch what this hand is doing while the other one...
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's also what I was talking with a few people about that. Just like, in my mind, I was like, God, it's kind of a coup that Root Division was able to pull this off.
Yeah.
It's awesome, but it's much bigger than they were looking. It's like, it's bigger, it's brighter, it's better. It's like the most perfect space ever. I'm sort of like, how in the world did they do that? That's incredible. You know, and they rightfully got funding from the city and from a number of other foundations. And, you know, it's great. It's so great. But I think, like you were just saying, it sounds like...
You can't just look at that one thing and think, oh, the
city's doing
is
great.
Over.
It's over. This is what the city's doing all over the city. This is what the city government's doing all over the city. And certainly, like, within those neighborhoods, like, there's a whole community of artists and people that have lived there and that have historically been there, and there are cultural institutions that support those artists and communities, and they're kind of getting sideswiped, you know.
Yep.
They're just sort of like, this is coming into your neighborhood, deal with it. And that's why it was so great that there was all that public comment, because they're like, hello, no, we need to be at the fucking table when you're discussing what happens in our community, period.
Yep.
Which was right on. Absolutely.
Maymay.
Kate.
I would like to express a possibly controversial opinion.
Okay,
well, don't we need more housing?
We do need more housing.
So then,
get it
look,
out,
girl. Here's the deal. Sometimes I go on Reddit. I don't recommend it. Reddit is a sewer.
Reddit is, yeah,
it's hell. But if you go on the San Francisco subreddit, it's almost unanimous. And keep in mind, so these are like what. Probably all like white men and probably a lot of tech workers that are on there.
I think so.
And it's like a unanimously thought that you just need housing. It doesn't matter if it's luxury housing, because at least then that'll be a magnet for the rich people to stop going to the poor neighborhoods and stealing their housing. What do you think about that?
Well, the luxury housing is being built in Soma. So it's like there's no really good place for luxury housing. Like, build it in the fucking marina, you know. Uh-huh. Go ahead. Build it on the fucking sand dune of the marina. Good luck.
Go on.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So it's sort of like, it's not just the Mission that's being displaced, or, you know, there's multiple neighborhoods and parts of the whole city is being fucking displaced, basically. So I don't know if there's any good spot for luxury housing in particular.
Uh-huh. Or even just market rate, which really is luxury.
Market rate is luxury housing at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So
what do we do?
$2,500 for a studio these days?
What do we do, Mason, then? Because 10,000 people coming into the city, where do they go?
Again, I do think, who said this? It was a failure of the city.
Some commenter.
An anonymous commenter. Can we call this anonymous?
Basically
this
said
issue?
That it's not market forces causing these problems. It's bad policy.
And bad planning. And I think it's both, but I definitely think the city was not prepared for this massive influx. For some reason, they should have been. They should have been able to foresee this to some degree.
Okay, but what would they do to prepare?
I don't know. I don't have a fucking answer, but I mean,
because we don't want, like, I feel like all us artsy communists don't want them to build new housing anywhere. Like, we have emission moratorium.
I'm actually not against building new housing. I'm against building new housing that's, you know, market rate only, you know, that's not below market rate or Section 8, where people can actually, other people like you and me can fucking afford to live there if we need to live there.
But
that's what I'm against. Like, I think, yes, we need housing, but we need to also consider who the housing is for. Realistically,
who's gonna live there? Or I mean, who's gonna build that?
Developers have to build housing.
But like
the city,
if you're a developer, are you gonna build the fucking,
well, the city
I
needs,
mean, you're a hippie, so you would do whatever, but you know, developers want to make the most money they can.
No, I know, and I guess I'm saying that there could be another law could be passed that's sort of like a percentage
for low income and,
yeah, that's what I mean,
affordable housing.
Yes, so that developers are actually having, they have to do that. It's part of their agreement to even build in San Francisco. And then what the fuck? And then like the housings can be fucking more diverse. It's like not a bunch of rich people living together. Who the hell needs that? It's not realistic. Come on now. You know, it's like you live in a city with like many different people from different, you know, class, race, whatever backgrounds. We all need to know how to get along with each other. It's like, what the hell?
We welcome more comments on this. I think we are going to try to interview some people that obviously maybe can speak about these things better than we can.
Or who are just like really embroiled in it.
Yeah.
More so than we are. Although we're embroiled in it as well. I feel embroiled in
it. Yeah, but I don't feel very knowledgeable. Just speaking for my own self. Even though I went and sat there for 105 hours having to pee really bad. Christine Wong Yap has a new survey out. She's doing some kind of project. You should definitely fill out that survey. I filled it out. You can enter a raffle and win a little something from her. I loved it. It was kind of a little long survey, but I did
it's 40 minutes. It's 40 questions in 15 minutes. I think anyone can do it.
I took longer.
Sounds
than
pretty
that.
Good. Take your time. Christine Wong Yap is awesome.
So there's a link to that survey down in the underworld. There's
and
a
we'll,
link to all kinds down
we'll
there.
Also, we'll link to some of the things we referenced earlier.
This last Saturday, I started volunteering for the Royal Nonsuch Gallery.
Hey!
I did a little bit of gallery sitting
is
for
Is that
them.
When you were like, come on by, I'm here?
Yep.
Is that what you posted?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Good for you. How's the show there?
You know, I gotta tell ya, off
tell.
The record, but on the podcast, I wasn't that into that show when I first saw it, but after spending 3 hours sitting with
it,
I actually really, really like it.
Cool.
It's
I love
Tom
that.
Tom Kamita. He just writes books nonstop.
Cool.
And there's like this weird interactive software thing in there where like you can type on your keyboard and it makes the sound that the letter makes. So like you hit D and it's like, duh.
Interesting.
And you can like make little music kind of with
it. Fun.
At least that's what I was doing.
So listener, if you go to Royal Nonsuch, you should probably just gallery sit.
Yeah. You should start volunteering for them.
I think you need
and
like
then
a,
maybe
you
they
need
could
a
be,
3 hour experience with this work to really kind of get deep into it.
And then maybe they could start being open more than 6 hours a week.
I know. It's so hard. I'm always there like at 6 o'clock after work on a weekday. I'm like, oh, just looking through the window.
Yep. I'm trying to get them to be open on Mondays. And then would they be the only venue open on Mondays? They'd have a monopoly on Mondays.
No, but they'd be probably one of the only ones.
Yeah. Okay, so think about that, people.
Well,
if I'm in there,
volunteer?
I'm going to give you a real good experience.
Can you do like a 4 to 7 hour shift on 4 to 7 kind of thing?
Just on Mondays?
Yeah, because I mean...
No, because I have another engagement on Mondays.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I would appreciate
but
a 4
listener,
to 7 hour.
Listener, if you are free 4 to 7 on Mondays, come volunteer for Royal
Nonsuch.
I
promise
Nonsuch
you, I will visit you.
Bottomless pretzels.
Really?
Unless
provided by you or them.
Unless the bag is gone.
No. I'll bring you popcorn if you work from 4 to 7.
You got a pick of the week or anything? I guess Royal Nonsuch is my pick of the week then. And it's not Bay Area, but I've been reading Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Oh, Ta-Nehisi. How,
yeah.
How's that going?
So good. I was reading it at Royal Nonsuch Gallery and like crying. And thank God nobody came in at that time.
What is it about?
It's kind of a memoir, but also kind of like a treatise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about, you know, the contemporary condition of Black people in America.
My pick of the week is Collect. Berkeley Art Center's Silent Auction. Go support those guys. Amy LeDuc's doing a great job as executive director. She's bringing in some good shows, great artists. Let's support them. There's another one, an event I've never been to, but I'm always kind of weirdly fascinated by it. That's coming up on September 25th. It's the third annual Drawn Together at Children's Fairyland.
Oh, I'm doing that.
You are?
I'm doing that. I'm okay, one cool. of those. I'm God. What day did you say it was?
September 25th. I think it's a Friday.
I'm on the 24th. I think it's stretched over a couple days.
Oh, really?
Or like 2 or 3 days. Yeah.
Oh, weird. I didn't know that. That might be a new thing.
I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Anyhow, people.
I have no idea. Just do you know what I'm supposed to be doing there, Mason?
All I know is that
I really need to reread the email.
All over Children's Fairyland. It's a nighttime event.
This week.
Socializing, having drinks, watching other artists draw, make stuff, make shit. And you don't need to bring a kid with you. It's the one time a year where you don't need to have a young child with you to go there.
Congratulations! You listened to another episode of Congratulations Pine Tree.
We love you.
Who are we? What are we doing? I kind of feel like we're getting back to our roots on this episode because we kind of started this podcast talking about intersection and all that chaos.
All the bullshit happening in the city.
And
BSS.
What's that stand for?
I don't know.
Bullshit city with
bullshit
S.
Shit.
Love to hear from you.
We're looking forward to talking to you next week.
As we are every week.
But especially next week.
But especially next week.
Yeah.
Don't get their hopes up, Mason.
No, we're going to get their hopes up.
Oh, fuck.
It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a real barn burner. I like saying barn burner.